Hey, good evening, gang. Welcome to Acts Rewind, Chapter 19. And it's just good to have you guys here with us. And whether you are here on location at Believers Church in Menominee, or whether you are out there somewhere in digital land and tuning in this evening, we want to welcome you. Let's take a minute and let's seek the Lord before we begin this revisiting of chapter 19 of the book of Acts, okay? Father, we want to welcome you here into our midst. We don't want to ever gather together like this to discuss your word without having your presence here. So we thank you for what you've taught us on Sunday through this book and through this chapter. And we pray that as we revisit it, as we get into the message again, and for those of us in Menominee to be able to have these small group dialogue discussions, we ask that you make that impact fully upon our lives and upon our hearts and minds, that we might leave this subject and move on to Acts 20 with full awareness and knowledge of what you're trying to teach us through 19. And we thank you again. We pray for unity just your obedience and your spirit being poured out in our midst. And we praise you, Lord. Amen. Okay. Now, Acts chapter 19, if you were here on Sunday, either digitally or physically and present here in the church, you'll know that we went through this chapter. And in this chapter called On Mission at War, we kind of visited this idea of the fact that the Christian walk, the Christian dynamic, is not something to be taken lightly. It's not the glee club. It's not some sort of a social entity in which we all get together and slap each other on the back and be good old boys. This is a war in which we need to be fully equipped in order to meet the challenges that God has for us. But not just that, in our actions, in our interactions with God, however difficult it might be, whatever warfare we might have to experience through that, we know that in that realm there is awesome blessing, there is great privilege of relationship that we have with God that we're not going to get sitting in the back pew. Okay? Now, we do know for sure that the world today is indeed a rather strange place for many of us. I mean, so many of us really have never known a world where anyone has ever seriously told us no or chastised us for poor or negative behavior whatsoever. That's just the generation in which we live in. So certainly we bristle when the government tells us that we can't do something, or even worse than that, tells us that we have to do something, right? And when we see that dynamic in our culture, suddenly it becomes very clear what we're up against as a church, and moreover as a movement within this social and cultural dynamic of 2020. Suddenly the bright spotlight is aimed at a generation of individuals that clearly wanted Jesus, a religion that doesn't tell us no and won't make us do something that we don't want to do. Now, sadly, there are those out there within the religious greater entity that have given the people what they want. They have created a false faith where God is okay with whatever we are and whatever we want and whatever we do and whatever we don't. But 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, prophesied concerning this day in which we're living. It says this, it says, "For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear." Well, welcome to Prophecy Fulfilled. There's a lyric line in an old Bob Dylan song, the song Isis, and that lyric goes like this: "Are you looking for something that's easy to catch? Huh. Well, it seems the answer to that question in our church age is, oh, yes, please. But there is factually nothing easy about walking in Christ. It is, whether we are ready to acknowledge such or not, it's a war. Ephesians 6, verse 12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places." 1 Timothy 1:18 says, "This charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage a good warfare." And then onward in the second letter, Timothy, chapter 2, verse 4, it says, No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. And that's talking to and about me and you. And then, of course, in Ephesians 6, we have the whole saga, if you will, there about suiting up for spiritual war using a rather picturesque language of traditional war gear. So, you see, we're so often seeking after, well, a spiritual Girl Scout troop, while Scripture is painting rather a scenario involving a special forces team. The biblical truth is that we as believers today can expect to fight the enemy of God for every day of our lives. And we will never see a vacation because Satan never takes one. Yet God, thankfully, has never left us in our own defense, nor has he merely called upon us, you know, to suck it up. He, in fact, has given us everything that we need by his divine power. He says in 2 Peter 1:3, "By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence." So, what's my point? Well, the point is clearly here that God has not dropped the ball, and he's not left us just simply to fend for ourselves. He's covered us. He's covered us. But, Christian, we have to be willing to step up to the plate. Hiding in the corner spiritually is simply not going to cut it. Now, see, it's not so much that God has somehow provided the mojo to walk this walk. No, it's moreover that he literally is that mojo. So when Paul understood this, and he did, he led the disciples there in Ephesus to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit there in Acts chapter 19. He led them to the indwelling, the equipping, the controlling, the possession of, and the possession by God himself in person and in life. After all, this is a war, and a war in which heavy artillery is needed. No one wants to fight the real enemy with a squirt gun, which is pretty much what we're doing if we try to go at it alone without being equipped by that infilling spirit. This whole issue, this isn't just a matter of what we want, this is a matter of what we need. If you are in this thing to win, then you need to have a ringer, and God has stepped up to fill those shoes. Now, sadly, I will admit, Christianity is being meted out today on so many levels as some sort of anti-depression pill or maybe a warm blanket for a cold day. Something, you know, to help one over the bumps in life and to temper the anxieties and the difficulties that life has a way of propagating. But that picture is wholly made up fiction. Now, I'm not saying that God does not at times smooth the road in front of us, because he most definitely does. But he is more concerned with erasing the carnage behind us than smoothing the road in front of us. He is a blessing. He is a joy. And he is indeed a peace. But he is also demanding and unflinching as far as the standard of holiness that God set up way back in the beginning. And let's face it, that can at times make our lives challenging and maybe even hard. In this old movie called American Ultra. American Ultra is about this young teenager who just worked in this convenience store, night shift even, in a small town, and he had no idea that he had been unwittingly trained as a deadly assassin. So one day, when he was being confronted by two guys in the parking lot, he shocked even himself by inexplicably finding, suddenly, that he had the ability to kill these two would-be attackers, and he does so with a spoon. That's us, Christian. We just have a spoon to take on Satan. But few, if anyone, even us, is aware of what we can do with the Spirit of God inside of us. We bring the spoon, and God brings the training. Look, a lot of this comes down to whether we, as we have previously discussed, really want to participate in moving the world, or whether we just want to be satisfied with, you know, passing through without causing a ripple. Are we round people or are we flat people? Meaning, do we engage the culture around us, or do we hide away from it all and be satisfied with just this mundane status quo? Paul was determined to make his life count, not for his own glory, but for the glory of the Redeemer. For Paul, you see, in his mind and heart, he was already dead. And having lost his life for the sake of Christ and the gospel, according to Mark 8:35, he then saved it. And because Paul had crossed over into that promised land, as we discussed on Sunday, the promised land of spiritual life with all of its blessings and all of its battles, it seems that now, well, anything was possible. He experienced spiritual warfare, spiritual persecution, but man, he also lived out the miraculous and he walked in the supernatural. We see it here in Acts 19. He witnessed God's presence and the manifest of God's power and plan. But instead of just watching it from the sidelines, he was now part of the event. He was on the field. The battle, it wasn't just fiction or a TV show. It wasn't a video game. This was a real life adventure. And he came to know the reality of Satan and his power, as well as the power of God and the victory assured by such. Now, so many believers today, let's face it, have any interest in being a disciple. As if those two things can be separated, and frankly, we are separating them, and I don't know what it means as far as the eternal destiny, eternal destination for those who are trying to pull this. But we think that believing is sufficient for eternal life. But James 2:19 tells us, you believe that there is one God, you do well. But even the demons believe and tremble. So what does that tell us? That tells us that even the demons believe as I believe. And I don't expect to be living next door to any one of them in the eternal. No, there's more to this than that. For true salvation, Christian, is complete surrender. True salvation is complete surrender. If I hang on to my life, I lose it. But when I trust him with my life, and I willingly slide it across the table to him, I am promised true life, full life, abundant life. Now, I wonder how many of us that are confessed believers tonight are still firmly in control of our lives, firmly in control, at least of our perceived destiny, and yet we still call ourselves Christians. We ignore Psalms 127, verse 1, which says, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is useless. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. Let me ask you, who's building your house? Who's guarding your city? You tonight? Because if that's the case, you're in trouble, dude. But filled with the Holy Spirit, the things that we can do with a spoon. God bless your discussions tonight, believers. May the Lord bless you. We'll see you on Sunday.